Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I'm GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back as we preview the battle for the pig, the Floyd of Rosedale. Luke knows it. I've talked about it on Twitter here on Wednesday. Luke, I've had a day, and I'm not having it with today. I get a ticket in the Gopher parking lot from a meter maid that wants to fill her quota. I then try to go out, change my trail cameras, see what I got running around. It's football season. I don't have a ton of time. And I am greeted by two of my trail cameras have been stolen by a trespasser. And it's been a day. So if you're going to, like, if you are listening to this podcast and you took my trail cameras, like, I just want the memory card back. Like, them things have been soaking for like a month. And I come out. And I'm just like, I know I put it on this tree. Now, I also know that I had a black bear on where I hunt in the East Metro. There was a bear around, and that was in the summer. And so I was like, maybe it was the bear. And I look around. I'm like, all right, I don't see claw marks on the tree where the camera was. If he took it down, he literally would have had to claw it off. So, again, welcome to trespassers who take $100 plus worth of cameras. And I'm done venting. So if you want to vent with me, feel free to tweet me at Ryan Burns MN with your stories, because we have a whole therapeutic Davenport of love going on in my thread. And it's frustrating. It's incredibly frustrating, to quote the great Joe Mauer, who is now headed towards retirement, Luke. But I know that folks don't want to hear me complain about trespassing and people taking my trail cameras. And they want to hear about their Gopher football team. They want to hear about the battle for the pig this weekend on homecoming.
Yeah, so let's real quick get in a thank you to our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. If you are interested in joining the Goal Line Club, you can head to their website at goalineclub.org. It is a very minimal fee to join. By comparison to other national programs, it is a drop in the bucket, only $100. I'd highly recommend it. I am a member myself. It is totally worth the $100 to give some high fives to some pretty awesome people, get connected into some pretty great events. So I'd highly suggest it. Again, goalineclub.org. Ryan, I apologize profusely for the day that you've gone through. Maybe it even started all the way back to that Maryland game, which was terrible, which we've talked about. But I'll be honest.
We get offense. So for folks who don't know, on Tuesdays, the media gets PJ Fleck. And then on Wednesdays, we get the offensive defensive coordinators. So you get to be able to hear PJ talk about things. You know, he'll give clarity, you know, on specific injury situations because the coordinators won't address that. He'll give who's available for the games because the coordinators won't address that. And so you're able to hear Kirk Soraka. I have both videos posted in full length. I think they're both less than 10 minutes. So if you have some time, head on over to my Twitter at Ryan Burns MN, or if you want to just head on over to Gopher Illustrated to check it out. It's free to watch what they talk about, because we asked Kirk Soraka about like the tunnel screen game, and he agreed with essentially what we'd been talking about on the podcast. It was atrocious. It hadn't been like that to date, to that Maryland game.
So quick, Ryan, you broke up a tiny bit there. This is thanks to our phone connection, but you were saying that the tunnel screen game, I'm assuming the blocking was atrocious, right?
Yeah, Minnesota's perimeter blocking. So Soraka was as frustrated as folks were with Minnesota's perimeter. blocking, and then he also gave credit to the defensive line retracing. What does that mean? That means when the defensive line figured out that when guys are going away, I should probably stop where I am because there's probably a reason for that. So he gave credit to Maryland for some of that. But again, we get to ask questions to the offensive defensive coordinator, kind of put them on the spot, because again, these are people making hundreds and, you know, $500,000+, and they're going to have to be held accountable. So that's what we try to do, we the media. And then we get to Rob Smith. First question, Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press. Hey, coach, what'd you think about the Maryland game? You know what? I'm not. And Rob Smith immediately goes, I'm not going to talk about the Maryland game. I'm on to Iowa, and then starts using a bunch of PJ Fleck cliches. I'm not a huge fan of that answer. You have to be held accountable. I understand that it's now Iowa week. I understand that the Maryland game was probably 10 days ago now. But this is the first time we've been able to ask Rob Smith about what went wrong with his defense when they gave up over 300 yards of rushing with a bunch of experienced players that didn't know what they were doing. So that was disconcerting to me. I'd like to see, whereas Kirk Shiroka answered the questions, Rob Smith really didn't. He just talked in PJ Fleck cliches. I don't know. So yeah, it's I don't know how we got to where we were now.
Well, I think here we are. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, going into this game, we've maybe taken a little bit of grief for some negativity on these podcasts.
It's realism. I mean, if you want honest takes, if you want the black and white, this is work for you. Now, I think that we are more optimistic than probably most people in the Gopher media. But if we have a negative take, and that's one of the things I love about this podcast, Luke, is people hold us accountable.
Oh, for sure.
We also give our rationale for it. So today, spoiler alert, I'm not going to pick Minnesota to win, but I'm going to tell you my reasons why. It's not some obscure caller into KFAN saying, wow, Minnesota's going to lose by 20 because they suck. No, I think this game will be close for a number of reasons we'll get into, but it's the – you know, I think we're more in depth than anything that you can listen to. And I think we're more honest, and we give the great rationale that I think folks appreciate.
Yeah. So when we get into that, you know, why we think the Gophers probably aren't going to win this game, one thing we have to factor in are injuries, right? And quite frankly, the Gophers, again, I don't know if we can say they've been ravaged by injuries, but,
when your top three players are out and it's the fifth game of the year, it ain't great.
But in the same respect, like, otherwise they've been okay. It's just like the guys you didn't need to get hurt, where you know, those were your top end performers, they did get hurt. And that's really what's hurting them. And obviously, we're talking about Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, and Antoine Winfield Jr. Not to mention, your starting quarterback has basically been hobbled the past two games.
Yeah, let's get into injuries, because since the last time we recorded, it has come out that Antoine Winfield had a Liz Frank injury, or in terms of in his foot. I believe it's a tear. I believe it's a ligament that tore. And I know that Daniel House, one of the best up-and-coming Gopher reporters out there, good friend of mine now, posted some data on Twitter that the average, or the median in terms of the NFL, when looking at a player coming back for this, is 11 months. Well, I quote tweeted it and tweeted it to a couple of how I explain this without sounding super sketchy, a couple of like doctors that do NFL work in terms of they can see it. They know what the injury is. And so I tweeted one at Pro Football Doc. He's very well respected among the Twitter community. I was like, here is the injury. What is a realistic time frame? What are expectations? And he tweeted me back, actually, that he expects Winfield back for spring ball coming off this injury.
Really?
Yeah. Which is surprising to me. I'm not expecting Antoine Winfield to be full bore for spring ball. I don't imagine Minnesota will give him full reps if he's even anywhere near close to that. But Winfield has had the left foot surgery. I believe it was on his left foot. I forget. But he's had the surgery. I expect him to be limited in spring ball, and I expect him to be a 22-year-old sophomore and hopefully fully healthy come fall camp next year. So both him and Rodney Smith out for the year. I also got questions about at the PJ Fleck press conference from the people on the Twitter machine of, is this the week Shannon Brooks is back? I would be very surprised if that was the case. If you'll remember, we talked a couple weeks ago that Shannon Brooks, I believe just prior to the Maryland game, was getting back into contact drills for the first time. Now, I understand that everybody wants to win Iowa. Everybody wants to win Iowa. Everybody wants to win Wisconsin. And the other Big Ten games are nice, but they're not Iowa and Wisconsin. Now, Minnesota, as much as the next head coach wants to beat Iowa, for all the fans, you know, Minnesota's 4-27 against Iowa and Wisconsin their last 31 games. PJ Fleck is well aware of that stat. He's the one that made us and the media well aware of that stat. Now, I don't think Shannon Brooks will be back for Iowa. Again, like I said, I'd be very surprised considering he's only gone through contact drills for 2 weeks. But I still think that come that Indiana game, potentially, maybe Illinois at the very latest, you're going to see Shannon Brooks at some point here in the non-conference. That leads us into Zach Anixted. Everybody's worried about Zach Anixted's ankle. I'm very worried about Zach Anixted's ankle. PJ Fleck said in his press conference on Tuesday, it's somewhere between 85 and 90%. Now, the skeptic in me is thinking, is it actually 75 to 80%? Or the optimist in me is thinking Fleck doesn't want Iowa to know it's actually 100%. Now, Luke, of those three, the Fleck answer, 85 to 90, the optimist, 95 to 100, or the pessimist, somewhere between 70 to 75%, which part of it or which part do you fall into?
Well, based on what we've seen thus far, I kind of lean towards the pessimist side. He aggravated, I believe, in the
I don't think it's a high ankle, but as many folks listening to this podcast know from their years and out any kind of moving around activities,
yeah,
an ankle injury needs to fully heal. You can't get it to like 70% and then expect it to just go up each successive week. You need to lay off it.
Well, then we've also heard that he was improved and it's obviously bugged him every game subsequently after. So I am just hesitant to buy in until I see the proof. I mean, much like the run defense, right? I want to see it first before I believe it.
Right. And with Zach Anixted specifically, I think the honest to goodness answer here is if you're going to think about the rest of the season here going forward, Minnesota has 8 Big Ten games remaining. This is the healthiest, in theory, Zach Anixted is going to be all year. He just had his bye week, and now he's got 8 straight Big Ten games to hopefully keep that ankle healthy enough. And if not, I think there's a very realistic chance that we're going to see Tanner Morgan, because you look at this Iowa front, they're very dynamic up front in terms of getting home to the quarterback. Minnesota, last I checked, still struggles to protect Zach Anixted, which is how this injury re-aggravated itself against Maryland. And if Zach Anixted can't move about the pocket, I think there's a real question that comes down to Kirk Ciarrocca and PJ Fleck to how much are we going to put him through knowing that he's not 100%, and how much, if we continue to throw him out there and he's not mobile, will that hinder his development? Now, maybe he comes out against Iowa, looks great, doesn't re-aggravate the injury. That is obviously the top scenario, that if you're a Gopher fan, that's what you're hoping for. But in my mind, I don't know if it's the most realistic. So again, PJ Fleck says he's somewhere between 85 and 90% healthy with that ankle. We'll have to find out come Saturday how he looks. Now, the last one I kind of want to address here is Keandre Thomas. You'll remember that Keandre Thomas did not play against Maryland, and I don't even think he traveled with the team. You can speculate amongst yourself. PJ Fleck has not addressed what happened specifically, although I do believe he said in the teleconference on Monday or Tuesday that it was a violation of team rules. Now, PJ Fleck also said on Tuesday that Keandre Thomas is back with the team. He's expected to play. He's going to be available. But you'll notice on the depth chart that came out, Coney Durr is listed as the starter ahead of Keandre Thomas right now. So are we thinking that this is 2018 depth chart truth, or do we think that this is Minnesota being coy with every other depth chart the previous 6 years? What say you, Luke?
I would imagine that it's probably depth chart misdirection, just to guess.
I'd hope so, because I'd really not want, with Antonio Chenault and with what Minnesota has to replace back there at safety now, I would much rather see Antonio Chenault at safety alongside Jacob Huff. Then you'll have Terrell Smith, Coney Durr, Keandre Thomas, Chris Williamson. Antonio Chenault is a great individual in terms of being a person. I have just seen enough of him in Big Ten play in previous years, in the freaking previous week, that I've seen what I need to see. I want to see some different bodies out there. So as of, PJ Fleck wouldn't give away the entire game plan. It sounds like we're going to see some combination of Chenault back there, And then true freshman Jordan Howden, even though it sounds like he may be battling a shoulder injury. And then true freshman Benny Sapp as well. Not entirely sure who's going to get the most reps there. I don't think Minnesota wants anybody to know. Maybe they're going to split evenly, even though I'd imagine one guy's going to get a lot more reps than the rest. But I think that about covers all the injuries that I know about, Luke.
Now let's talk a little bit about when the Gophers are on defense. I mean, the offense wasn't exactly spectacular against Maryland either, but this is kind of the focus that we focused a bunch of time on. So, you know, again, in Maryland, struggled to stop the run. The 300-plus rushing yards were enough to kind of point that out. But looking at Iowa, they're pretty balanced, I'd say, offensively. About 225 through the air, 167 on the ground on average, averaging about 25 points a game. Obviously, kind of the highlight name is Noah Fant, the tight end. He's been phenomenal this year. Nate Stanley's been pretty decent at quarterback as well. What do you expect the Gophers to try to do to slow the roll of that Iowa offensive attack?
I think you summed it up pretty well in that it's a very balanced Iowa attack compared to what you're used to. It starts with their two tight ends. Noah Fant likely going to be the first tight end taken in the draft in 2019. You'll remember that Minnesota actually got an official visit from Noah Fant back in January of his senior year. I believe that was with, it might have been Tracy Clay's first year, if I remember right. Or it might have been Jerry's last. I don't remember anyways. Minnesota nearly got Noah Fant. He ends up deciding to stay with Iowa. Now he's going to be the first tight end taken in the draft. You also look at their other tight end who is no slouch himself. His name is TJ Hawkinson, someone that I saw at a Gopher camp. Minnesota decided not to offer. He was an Iowa kid anyway. Decides to go to Iowa. Both tight ends are very dynamic in the passing game. And you remember back to the Iowa game last year, Minnesota loses 17-10 at Kinnick. It was the tight ends that gave Justice Harris, Minnesota's freshman corner at the time, gigantic fits. Noah Fant, I believe, scored on a long touchdown where it was a crossing route. Noah Fant didn't know, Justice Harris looked like he was running in quicksand. And since then, we have yet to see Justice Harris on a defensive football field. He has been MIA this season. I'm very worried about these tight ends because I know that Minnesota has the personnel in theory to cover them. Thomas Barber is very good in coverage, or at least he was last year. Kamal Martin and Blake Cashman both have the athleticism, in my mind, to run with both these guys. I think that, as does Jacob Huff, and my worry is what Iowa's had a bye week just like Minnesota. It's a unique matchup when you look at this battle for the pig, because both teams are coming off a bye. I don't know that that's happened too many times in Minnesota football in the last 10 years, that Minnesota's team that they're playing coming off a bye also is coming off a bye. So what I normally expect is that you're going to see some new wrinkles. Both offense and defense for the opposing team and Minnesota have had an extra week to prepare for this. They're likely going to put in some new wrinkles. So the question is going to be, you've seen what opposing defenses have done to the Vikings, where Anthony Barr against the Rams last week, Sean McVay got him matched up on Cooper Kupp. He got him matched up on Robert Woods. And that just puts a linebacker on top of a guy that he should not be covering.
Basically in a no-win situation.
And so how does that relate to Minnesota? Well, if you're going to match up Benny Sapp or Jordan Howden somehow on Noah Fant or TJ Hawkinson, I'm going to tell you that's not going to end up well more times than not for Minnesota. So how does Minnesota and Rob Smith defense try to combat that? Because I think Nathan Stanley, at least what he's shown in the last two games, is he's been competent through the air. Now, where Iowa's very lackluster this year is with their wide receivers. They have been anemic at best. They haven't really been able to do anything. So you look at the entire passing game so far has been to the running backs and to the tight ends, with the wide receivers somewhat making a splash play here or there. But it's going to be on Minnesota's defensive line and that front seven to try and generate any kind of pressure, trying to get Nate Stanley to make some bad throws, trying to make sure that, well, you are going to be breaking in a brand new defensive back or a brand new back four or five that aren't used to playing with one another. It's going to be on this defense to, number one, stop the run, which, by the way, this was the lone Big Ten road game last year. Minnesota actually did stop the run. So if you want to hang your hat on something,
yeah,
it's that, because Iowa running backs last year ran the ball for, I think, 98 yards and 27 carries. That's not very good. And that was the lone game Minnesota was actually able to stop a running back in the Big Ten on the road. So Minnesota did it last year. The guys on defense know they've had success. And they know they had success doing it without Antoine Winfield. So if you're looking for some kind of solace, I think that's it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about when the Gophers are on offense. Defensively, Iowa's only giving up 13 points a game, which is pretty more than respectable, I should say. Their pass yardage, they're giving up 176 yards through the air, 84 on the ground, also both very respectable numbers. The Gophers, conversely, have been averaging 27 points a game on the season, 87 yards passing, about 160 yards rushing. I'm really curious to see, Ryan, what you think the Gophers are going to try and do offensively. You know, I don't know that they're going to have a ton of success running the ball. Obviously, Sons, Brooks, and Smith, or we're assuming definitely Sons, both them, but I guess we won't know until game time for sure. But what do you expect the offensive attack to be against Iowa?
On paper in 2018, this is the biggest mismatch of the day. You look at Minnesota's football study hall rankings as an offensive unit. Minnesota's offense rates as a bottom 15 unit in college football on offense. Iowa's defense, on the other hand, rates as a top 7 defense in college football. So you have an immovable object is meeting a very movable force. This does not bode well for Minnesota right now. Now you go back to that 2017 game last year, Minnesota's running backs, Kobe McCrary, Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks on 31 carries, run for 4.5 yards a carry. They're able to sustain Minnesota's offense enough, but you'll also remember Demaryius Crofts in the day was 9 for 29. Now, this was also a big part of the Minnesota's receivers and tight ends were terrible. Tyler Johnson could not get off Josh Jackson all game, even though Josh Jackson was holding him on more than 4 or 5 times where I thought it should have been a flag. You'll remember that Nate Wozniak turned around too soon on like a wide dump play in the end zone. The only time Minnesota targets their 6'10" tight end in the red zone, and it's an incomplete pass where it could have been a touchdown. Minnesota absolutely had their opportunities to win this game, but their offense wasn't great. Now, you look at it on paper this year, this is where Minnesota – if Minnesota is going to win this game, it's going to be because of their offense, because the offense is going to have to score some resemblance of points. The offense is going to have to score more than 20 points if Minnesota's going to win this game. And it's tough to see how they do that in theory on paper, because you look at these matchups, you have a very dynamic front 7 for the Iowa defense that has been very good in terms of getting after the passer. You look at their sack rate on the season, they have a sack rate of just under 3%. Now, that may not sound like a lot, but hey, reminder, that is top 20 in college football. Their sack rate on – I totally messed that up. Let me start again. Their sack rate on defense this year is 11.1%. That is very, very good. That's a top 15 unit. And you look at Minnesota on the flip side of things, Minnesota's pass blocking in terms of on football study hall rates as a bottom 40 unit. Not great. Not great at all. You look at Minnesota's run blocking in terms of what the statistics say from Football Study Hall. Minnesota grades is a bottom 25 run blocking unit. On the flip side of things, Iowa's front 7, they grade as a top 40 unit. This is where Kirk Soraka is going to have to get very tricky, because on paper, Minnesota just can't get away with inside zone. They can't get away with read option with an immobile quarterback or who could easily re-aggravate that injury in the first quarter. And you need to have something prepared for that. So if Minnesota is going to be able to do this, they're going to have to get tricky. You're going to have to see Tyler Johnson have a much better game than he had against Maryland, a much better game than he had against Iowa last year. Now, I am well aware that Iowa may be starting a true freshman at quarter, Julius Brents, as they have some injuries back there for Iowa. They're also going to be without one of their best linebackers in Nick Neiman. They'll be replacing him with something called Barrington Wade. I still need to see it from this offensive line group, because what they showed last week, or I guess 10 days ago now, was a unit that just got overmatched physically, and it wasn't even like they were on the same playing field. Now, how much are you going to put into the bucket that this was an offensive line unit that was devastated by the loss of Nick Conley? It had been less than 48 hours. They didn't have a chance to say goodbye. These are still 18 to 22-year-old individuals that having them try to deal with something like that and then try to perform 48 hours since then, they're not going to be putting their best foot forward. Well, they've had their chance to say goodbye to Nick. They've had the funeral. They've had 10 days to repair. They've had a bye week working on the fundamentals, something that Jared Weiler talked about extensively with the media, is what Minnesota's offensive line unit did as a whole with Brian Callahan was back to fundamentals. They needed to fix some things up front. Well, they've had 10 days to do it. By the time that Iowa comes to town, they've had 14. Can Minnesota's offensive line come out with a little fire under their keisters and a little blood in their mouth so they can play a little bit physical? Because if they're not going to be playing physical on Saturday, it's going to be a long, long day for this Gopher squad.
All right. Let's touch on our sponsor again, the Goal Line Club. Just want to remind people again that it's only $100 to join. It's really not a lot. I would highly recommend it. And that money goes to directly affecting Gopher football. It isn't shared with other parts of the athletic department. It's directly affecting the football team and what PJ Fleck and his staff are doing within the football program and in the community as well, or in the football community as well. So one thing we want to highlight is that money can go towards things that seem that are maybe overlooked very often. So for instance, you have a student athlete who comes up who might be from a state that doesn't have cold weather or doesn't have winter for that matter. The Goal Line Club actually provides jackets for family members that are coming to travel for cold games. So for instance, now the weather's starting to turn, it's starting to get colder. You've felt it, right? Maybe not today with that hot and humid day on this Wednesday, but it does change, and those people need to be outfitted correctly to be able to watch their son play football. And that is one of the ways that money can be used to impact not only the players of the football program, but also the parents of that program, because they are just as much a part of that program as the player themselves are.
Absolutely. And I also do want to touch on the Iowa tailgate. Now, all the registration is closed for that as we record this, but I do know from interacting with some folks on social media that there's going to be quite a few Gopher Gridiron radio listeners that are going to be at the tailgate. So I will be at the tailgate on Saturday, probably around noon. If you see me, come say hi. I'll be having a beverage with you guys before we have some more radio duties. But back to the Goal Line Club as a whole, I mean, Luke talked about it. Guys like Rashad Bateman, guys like Bryce Williams, having their family come up to watch them play in late October, early November. I mean, this is coming from the guy who over the bye week was up in Bedette, Minnesota. It was 38 degrees. I was sitting on the rainy river because Lake of the Woods was too windy to get out on. It was 38 degrees and snow squalls. Now, 38 degrees and snow squalls for me, I can handle that. For families coming up from Georgia and Florida and Texas, 55 degrees feels like 20 degrees. And the Goal Line Club is able to provide them with some warmth. And that goes a long way for these parents that want to come up and make sure that they're supporting their child. So if you want to learn more about the Goal Line Club, head to goalineclub.org.
All right, Ryan. So as we get to, you know, previewing and even getting your keys to the game, just want to summarize, you know, where this game is at on kind of on paper at a high level view. So the Gophers right now are a 7-point underdog. It'll be a 2:30 game. Looking at the weather for that 2:30 game, which will be on BTN, by the way, it's looking like right around kickoff, we're probably going to see somewhere overcast skies, somewhere in the low 50s, maybe 51, 52 degrees, somewhere in there. Not a lot of chance for precipitation. And I guess if you're looking at the Gophers, they're a 7-point underdog right now at home, which doesn't bode well for them on paper. Iowa is actually 3-1 on the year against the spread, as are the Gophers. So I guess, what are your keys to this game?
Let's get into it. The first key, as I think it's going to be for the remaining eight Big Ten games, is to stop the run. Because until Minnesota's defense can prove that they can stop the run in Big Ten play, which obviously they proved is still a gigantic issue in their first Big Ten game, this is going to be my number one key going forward. Gopher defense, stout non-conference play, first Big Ten game comes, falls apart, just like 2017. Now, my biggest concern with this run game is Rob Smith's defense wasn't overmatched physically like Kirk Shiraka's offense was, because Minnesota's starting, I believe, eight of the 11 starters on offense are either freshmen or underclassmen. Rob Smith's defense is starting, I think, two underclassmen. So they weren't overmatched physically. They were overmatched mentally. That's extremely concerning to me. You have experienced players like Thomas Barber, Blake Cashman, and even Antoine Winfield before he went down was out of position. Minnesota couldn't figure out the jet motion, which makes me believe they weren't prepared. So I don't believe that the Terrapins showed a whole lot that was new that would confuse an experienced Gopher defense as much as they did. So it's on Rob Smith and his staff to get these guys much more prepared for Iowa this weekend than they did against Maryland. Now, like I said last year, Minnesota performed well against the run against Iowa and even on the road. They held Akram Wadley and I believe James Butler under 100 yards, 27 carries, somewhere around 3.4 yards a carry. So there is a history here, folks, that Rob Smith's defense can perform well against Iowa in terms of against the run without Antoine Winfield. That being said, the matchup here in 2018 is going to be Iowa's offensive line versus Minnesota's front seven. Iowa's offensive line grades out as the 42nd best offensive line in college football against the run. Minnesota's front seven grades out as the 95th best against the run in college football. That's a difference of 53 spots. That is a mismatch. So this Gopher defense has played well at home, and it's a rivalry game, so it's time for this Minnesota defense to step up. Number two, I already talked about how Minnesota needs to stop throwing the ball. For them to do that, they need to win in the trenches, because Minnesota needs to establish something resembling a running game against Iowa. They were able to do it last year because they had Rodney Smith, Shannon Brooks, and Kobe McCrary. Well, Minnesota doesn't have any of those guys available right now, and they have two freshmen toting the rock. What happened last game against Maryland can't happen again. Zach Anikstad's ankle is a question mark. And Minnesota, like I said, needs to have something resembling a running game. But the individual matchup I'm going to watch, just like we told you against Maryland, it was Jesse Onabonum versus Sam Schluter. Well, now this week it's going to be Anthony Nelson and A.J. Epenza against Sam Schluter. Nelson and Epenza are the most disruptive defensive linemen for the Hawkeyes, that for a Hawkeye unit that has been very disruptive in terms of getting home to the passer. And Sam Schluter, to put it nicely, has struggled against pass protection against bigger, stronger guys all season. Anikstad hasn't had a lot of time in the pocket, and when he has had a little bit of time, the pressure is coming directly in his face, and that's not helping this ankle. So in theory, like I mentioned earlier, Anikstad's ankle will be as healthy as it's going to be all season off the lone bye week, and Minnesota has to keep it that way. So it's on the Minnesota Moving Company to keep their freshman quarterback upright, which is something they haven't been able to do consistently. Iowa's defense has been stout in any kind of defensive metric that you want to look at. They have a top 15 sack rate, where on the flip side of things, Minnesota's offensive line has been below average in college football. And number one, keeping their offense on schedule, keeping their quarterback upright. So all these things need to improve this weekend if Minnesota is going to be able to take home the pig. And then finally, maybe the biggest key to this game is finding big plays. If you're going to win in the Big Ten as an underdog, which Minnesota is, 7-point underdog right now, you have to have big plays on offense and defense, which has been a struggle the last few games. Zero turnovers were forced last week. Minnesota's offense couldn't hit on a big play as well. We've talked about at length how this offense struggles to find explosive plays with no Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks. In the run game and then the pass game, Zach Anik says deep ball hasn't been there. So you look at the two things. Minnesota's offense is rated as a bottom 15 offense in explosive plays in college football. They rate as 118th as an offensive unit in explosive plays. On the flip side of things, the Hawkeye defense has been elite at preventing explosive plays. The Hawkeye defense is the second best defense in America at preventing big plays. So you have a bottom 15 Minnesota explosive unit going against the top two explosive unit in terms of preventing it for this Hawkeye. So on paper, this doesn't bode well for Minnesota, but that's why they play the games. Minnesota needs a big run or two. They need Anikstad to get on track with his passing game, maybe against this freshman cornerback. But Minnesota's defense needs to limit the big plays. Maryland's offense, scored 35 points 10 days ago. They didn't run a single play from the red zone. That means big play central. And that can't happen at home against Iowa. Iowa's offense has struggled to generate big plays, just like Minnesota's, and the Gopher defense needs to keep it that way. They need to make sure that Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson don't get anywhere. And the final stat I'll leave you with before the prediction here is, per SB Nation, the most correlated statistic, advanced statistic that is, to winning a football game is winning the explosiveness battle, in which the team that wins that specific stat wins the game 86% of the time. So it's time for Minnesota to flip that script and get some explosive plays this week.
All right. So when it comes to predictions, I didn't pick Minnesota in the preseason to win this game. I am not going to pick them today. I think that, again, this is just statistically on paper, this is just a tough game for the Gophers. I'm still not convinced of the run defense, even though they have a historical data point in the game last year where they actually played quite well against Iowa. Additionally, we just need to see some consistency out of the offense. And I still think that Zach Enix's ankle is a big question mark, as you've highlighted. That said, I do feel if the Gophers can keep it close and it becomes a game of special teams, I do think the Gophers have a chance. They have the better field goal kicker. Ryan, they have the better punter. That is absolutely for sure.
We're going to see if it's Jekyll and Hyde this weekend with Jacob Herbers. Is it the Jacob Herbers from the first 11 punts, or is it going to be the Jacob Herbers that's looking like the Mortel winner his last 11 punts? That's for sure.
Did you see that the punt efficiency for the Gophers is now 18th in the country? I want to put that in top 20 and field goal.
He's
20,
come a long
21st.
Way in the last two games. That's for sure.
I think if they can get it into a single score, like maybe need a field goal to win, I like the Gophers' chances, but I just don't see that happening. I will take Iowa 24-14.
From my end, I think this comes down to this. Do you believe that Minnesota's offensive defensive line can play with a lot more physicality than they showed the previous week? Now, one side of me says yes. They're back at home. A young team is always going to play better at home. And it's for the Floyd of Rosedale. It's a rivalry game. You've had 2 weeks to prepare. Your body shouldn't hurt you as much as it's going to after each subsequent game. I just don't think that Minnesota's offensive line can deal with what Iowa's going to throw at them in terms of with physicality, with different blitzing linebackers, different blitzing defensive backs. And I think Zach Anixed is going to have issues staying upright all game, which is not good for his ankle. If Minnesota is able to somehow stay on schedule as an offense, what does that mean, stay on schedule? I talk about it a lot. You want your third, you don't want it to be third and eight, and third and nine. You want it to be third and three, third and two, third and one, where the playbook for Kirk Soraka is much more expansive than it would be in a third and long situation. If the offense is able to stay on schedule and help their defense rest, Minnesota's got a shot here. This defense did shut down Iowa last year on the road for 17 points, but the offense never got it off the ground. Receivers need to win battles, ones they didn't last year, but I think Minnesota is going to struggle to keep Zach Anik set upright. I don't think they're going to find much resembling a running game, and I have Iowa 27, Minnesota 20.
All right. We want to thank everybody for listening per usual. Again, if you like the podcast, you can rate and subscribe on whatever podcast aggregator that you use. And we appreciate you listening. Go Gophers.
The greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.